Ghost Knight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine. Welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
It is Thursday night, and if you can hear our voices, you're exactly where you need to be. She is Karen Frazier. I am Rick Hale. This is Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. Welcome.
Yeah, so, we're a little late getting started tonight because we are the victims of Orange County traffic, apparently.
Yeah,
and apparently. I heard a rumor that Cheryl and Chad were actually out auditioning today for The Real Housewives of Orange County. That's what Cheryl wants to do.
Not.
You know what? I can totally believe that. And
I can see it.
In their palatial Orange County apartment, right, Cheryl?
Oh, if you only knew. Yeah.
So we are back after having a cluster F of a week last week. So we're
That's
here.
That's right. Rick had power problems last week, and unfortunately, my husband did something with our wireless, and by come showtime, it was not working.
Yeah. So. Well, let me tell you about this. That was like quite possibly one of the greatest ordeals of my life was dealing with Commonwealth Edison. I don't know. Do you guys have ComEd in other states, or is it we just the lucky ones here in Illinois?
We have Puget Sound Energy here.
Okay. Well, we have ComEd. Now, ComEd, basically, they own this state. They're like the chief power provider. So they can pretty much do whatever the hell they want whenever the hell they want to do it. So a tree limb came out, took the...
Why did it come down?
Cable down. I don't know. It just up and came down.
So
I came
it wasn't
home.
Wind or rain?
We haven't had rain for like 2 months.
Okay.
So I have no idea what could have possibly brought it down. But here's the funny thing, though. The cable guys, they were here the very next day reinstalling our cable. We had to wait 5 days for ComEd to get their fat asses over here and restore our power. I could not believe it.
Well, that's because you're a captive audience, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I know, right? There's nothing like dealing with fembots and brobots. I mean, you can't even talk to them. Stupid androids.
Oh, well, you know... We've had similar problems with our garbage company here. So I, for a while, actually was relatively certain that I was going to have to go down to the power or the garbage company and strangle someone because we had neighbors who came and they got a new garbage can.
Okay.
And we have to leave all our garbage cans down at the same spot, and we have to use the garbage company's garbage cans because the trucks have to have a specific type of garbage can to pick them up. So they dropped off a garbage can for the neighbors. Well, the neighbors stole our garbage can.
I take it back. That's an even greater ordeal.
Well, we had a big garbage can, and the neighbors had a little garbage can, and the neighbors stole our big garbage can. And so... we had another big garbage can already. So when everybody put all the garbage cans out, there was one too many big garbage cans, and our garbage company decided it was us.
Okay.
So they took our other garbage can and then called us and harassed us and said we were using a garbage can that we weren't supposed to. And we were like, no, we have a big garbage can. And look on your records. And they were like, oh, you're supposed to. So one of your neighbors has your garbage can. We're like, yes, so maybe you need to find out which one that was. And they wanted us to actually become garbage can ninjas and freaking put on camouflage and crawl through our neighbors' yards to see who had our damn garbage can.
No, like I said, I take it back. That's an even greater ordeal than trying to get your power restored to your house. That's quite possibly one of the most funniest but insane things I've ever heard in my life.
Them telling me that I had to find out who had the damn garbage can. So I understand. I can relate to your power issues.
Oh, yeah. Power issues suck. So, okay, before we move on, there is something that I really want to talk about because something earlier this week almost drove me insane, and it had nothing to do with power. It had to do with a fake photograph. But you know, Karen, tell us, our lucky listeners, what they've won for tonight. Who do we got on?
I believe it's psychic Jackie Chin.
Yes,
she is.
One of our favorite guests. I really like talking to her. The last time she was on the show,
I know.
She's,
I'm, I'm hoping she'll make some psychic predictions for me to see if I'm going to die at the hands of my new teenage driver.
Oh, see, now, like I said in the chat room, I'm hoping that by the time Theo drives, that there will be flying cars like Marty McFly promised us.
Oh, yeah, that'll be safer.
And Robert Zemeckis. But it, not, who cares that about safer? It's just going to be way cooler.
That's terrifying, Rick. God.
It's going to be way cooler.
He's been learning for, since last Tuesday. And I'm in a permanent state of, panic. I feel like I have anxiety disorder now because I've been the one going with him driving. And he's doing fine. But it's just that kind of, you know, he's new. And
yeah, well, Tanner's a good kid. He's got his stuff together, so.
Yeah, so far, so good. We almost got in an accident today, but it wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
So.
Well, good. I mean, yeah, it's a learning process. We all know. We've all been through it, living in the Western world here. And
that's right.
Like I said, he's a good kid. He's got it going on, so. Yeah.
So what's grinding your gears, Rick?
Okay, all right. Oh, my God. Okay. It's a television issue, mind you, okay? So everybody be prepared. Okay, recently I saw a post on Ursula Bielski's Facebook page. If you don't know who Ursula Bielski is, she is the reigning paranormal queen here in Chicago, Illinois. And she's an all-around great person. She posted a photograph on her Facebook that the group Ghosts of New England, I got it right here, Ghosts of New England Research Society, who is going to be featured on a show on the Discovery Channel called American Haunting in October. So anyways, they did an investigation at a place called the Writers on Main Street in Meridian, Connecticut. And they took one of the most famous pictures of all time that was taken right here in Chicago at Chicago's very own most haunted
Bachelor's Grove.
Yep. Which is my favorite absolute place. They took the famous picture of the Madonna of Bachelor's Grove, which displays the apparition of a woman sitting on a tombstone, and she's just looking off into the graveyard. Now, this photo was taken by Mari Huff, who was a member of the Ghost Research Society, which is run by Dale Kaczmarek, the reigning king of Chicago paranormal. And she put it out there, and everybody took a look at it, and it was like, this is not a fake picture. This is the real deal. So what they did was is that these Ghosts of New England Research Society, or goners, as they like to call themselves, it's like, really, give me a break. They photoshopped just the image of the Madonna into sitting in a chair in a basement of this restaurant where they were going to be showing this on their this television show, American Haunting.
They weren't presenting it as evidence, though, because it's a very famous photograph. Everyone would know.
They absolutely were posting it as evidence. In fact, on their Facebook page, they called it the Holy Grail, and all of our listeners know how much I hate that goddamn term.
I know. Are you sure that it wasn't like somebody who went rogue on their team and they didn't know that somebody had done this?
Nope.
I mean, that doesn't excuse their ignorance of not knowing who the ghost in the photo is, but still.
Nope. They were absolutely taking this, presenting this as evidence for a reason for it to be shown on the Discovery Channel show, An American Haunting. I don't understand how anybody... That's one of the most famous pictures and probably constitutes some of the best evidence of life after death. I don't understand...
It's very famous. It's like the Grey Lady and, others. There are some that are just incredibly famous photographs, and if I was going to use it to cheat my evidence, I sure wouldn't be picking famous crap.
Exactly. I mean, you may as well just... Like you said, take the Grey Lady of Raynham Hall and just, I can put her right here in my basement right now. I'm sure the apparition of Pauline will just love having her down here.
So are they going to be still on the show?
I certainly hope not. But the message that I'm trying to convey is this. And Karen, you know how I feel about this. And many of our listeners and readers know how I feel about this. This is faking evidence of any kind only destroys what those of us who have been in the field for a long time have been trying to build.
And being less than honest with yourself about your own things that you think might be evidence is also destroys the field. So if you have something And in the back of your mind, you think, oh, shit, that might be my shadow. But you put it out there as this is a shadow and there was no light behind me. And, you know,
or if it's an orb.
Or if you hear a whisper on a thing and it sounds like maybe it could be your zipper, but it also sounds like, help me, you know, something like that.
Roger.
Julian. If you're not sure, if you have any doubt about your evidence, I'm not even talking about faking it now. If you have any doubt about your evidence at all, don't put it out there.
Right. But you know what? That, however, can be an honest mistake. This was a deliberate usage of one of the most famous paranormal photographs of all time to present as evidence just so you can get your group on television. I mean, are you kidding me?
But here's the really cool thing about that is it turns out that perhaps their name is prophetic. Goners.
Oh, goners. You know, I certainly hope so, because it's like, you know what? You're just faking it. Go away forever. And don't be on television, for God's sake. You're just going to ruin the rest of our reputations.
You know, there's just an influx of, and I know we need to get to our guest pretty soon, but I've just got to say this. There's just an influx of a lot of these teams out there right now who only are doing this to get on television or to be famous, and they don't give a crap about the field. And it seems like it's getting worse.
Yeah, and you know what? If we're being honest with ourselves, we have to say that, you know what? Yeah, this is happening. And it's so weird. I mean, how you had like taps with the what was that, Fort Mifflin, with the tug on the back of Grant Wilson's jacket.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That was, I mean, come on. That was such an obvious fake. And if they were actually in on that, which it appears that they may have been, then that should have destroyed their reputation. But people still watch the show.
But here's the difference. Why? There is a difference because there's a difference between the actual paranormal field and what you see on television. And yeah, absolutely. there's a little bit of crossover. But I actually, believe it or not, this past week, in order to calm myself down from my terrifying jaunts in real life, have gone back on my on-demand and watched some paranormal television, because I think I've mentioned to you, first of all, I don't really watch TV much, but I haven't watched paranormal television in probably 2.5-3 years.
Yeah, you're not missing anything.
Right, so I went back and I watched some, and it's kind of gone downhill.
Yeah.
Yeah, so much stuff. There were so many things that I watched that I just went, oh, come on. And things that people that were supposed experts were stating as fact. You know, it's a fact that ghosts can attach themselves to objects. Well, that's not a fucking, excuse me, that's not a freaking fact.
Whoa.
And my point, that's not a fact.
Right.
It is so not a fact. It is an opinion. It is something that people think happen. And
it appears that it may happen, but it is another one of those things that is so amazingly rare.
It is. It is. So, yes, I have to apologize, guys, for my French. I get a little frustrated by some of the stuff in the paranormal field, and I just Zach Bagans'd an F-bomb. Good Lord.
Well, speaking of which.
I'd like to apologize to my family and my friends and everybody.
I'm sorry, President Obama. I said the F word on the radio.
My gosh. Anyway, so let's do this so that I can I can clean up my
language. You need to collect yourself, Karen.
I need to go wash my mouth out with soap is what I need to do. So I'm going to go wash my mouth out with soap, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to psychic Jackie Chin. So stick around. It's Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. We will be right back.
First there came radio, and it was good. Then it got bad. Then there came satellite radio, and it was okay. Then it got too expensive and kind of sucked. Now there is something new, something better, something free. Stitcher Radio for the iPhone and BlackBerry. With Stitcher, you can hear all the shows and podcasts you can imagine, rate them, and build your own station. No downloading, no syncing, no problem. Just pick a station to get started, like American News and Politics. Now, look at the shows you have to pick from, pick one, and start listening. Like it, make a favorite, and start your own station. Don't like it? Thumb it down and say bye-bye to shows like it. Or thumb it up to find more like it. Plus, you can search and find your favorite podcasts. We have over 1,000 shows to pick from. Stitcher Radio, the natural evolution in audio listening. And it's free.
On the go and missing another one of your favorite Z-Talk shows? Now you don't have to. Simply go to the Google Play Store on your Android phone and download the Z-Talk Radio app. The best part is, it's absolutely free. That's Z-Talk Radio, only found in your Google Play Store on your Android phone. Download it today.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Hi everyone, it's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Station identification.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Z-Talk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
So our guest today is somebody who is really very interesting.
Hey, this is Kate Pearson from the B-52s.
wait a minute, don't we usually play like disclaimer or something like that?
I think you must have missed the point where I just said we're going right back from music to the interview.
Cheryl wanted to see if she could get you to drop one too. I'm pretty sure that's
it. You know what? I probably will by the end of the evening. So anyways, everybody, welcome back to Underground Radio. We are your hosts, Karen and Rick. Ed, so again, incredible. Joining... Yes, Karen. Karen has taken some magic holy water, and she has rinsed her mouth out with soap, so hopefully there won't be no more F-bombs from her tonight. Karen. you know what? I like the energy of this already. So, again, we welcome back to the show Jackie Chin, psychic medium, author, and a spiritual teacher. Kind of like always been one of my favorite guests. So, welcome back to the show, Jackie. Or welcome back to the underground, Jackie.
You know what? I tell you guys, ruined me for any other talk radio, including my own. I enjoyed the way that you work together. I enjoyed the feeling of being able to have really good questions, but then having laughter with it and being able to just have a really good vibe and get some good information out there.
And of course, our clean family atmosphere, right?
This isn't like truckers.
Yeah, I'll get it. Is what you're doing it right. And that magazine, are you still doing your magazine?
Cheryl.
Yeah. Cheryl. Yeah.
Cheryl.
Oh, we are. Yeah.
Cheryl.
We are. We are. Yes. You know what we need to do?
I'm like jonesing to get back into that again, I just thought that was just the awesomeness. I have to get another link from you guys because the computer that I had that I downloaded the article and the magazine from when I had put in the one about ethics. Mm-hmm. It's all gone because the computer died, and so I don't have that link anymore, and I don't know where the magazine got to. I think somebody sparked it because they thought the cover was awesome.
So
I don't know what that is either.
Here's what I would tell you about the computer thing. This is a really good piece of advice. Are you ready? Backup. There you go.
I thought there was going to be an F-bomb involved there.
F and backup, man.
You know, my husband, he works on computers all the time, and he says, did you back it up? And I'm like, I don't know if I did or not. And, I have so many of those little thumb drives, and I don't, it's on one of those somewhere. And they're small, I lose them.
So what would you guys like to talk about
tonight? I hear this is an awesome paranormal radio show, and you guys talk about some really good radio questions. Well, I'm ready for it.
Well, Jackie, you were telling us before the break that you almost dropped an F-bomb on a show recently. Potty mouths, my God. Anyways,
that's really friggin' hard to believe.
This subject that I was on the radio about is about this paranormal bullying stuff. It seems to be everywhere where people are just getting into the, it's not even just into the faith, so to speak, of the groups that are out there, but they're getting personal. I mean, they're attacking your family members. They're attacking...
teams are?
Wait, you're kidding me.
Yeah, are you talking ghost bullies or are you talking people bullies?
Well, I'm talking people bullies. I'm talking it starts at the paranormal level and it gets real stupid real quick after they, because we teach people in the for paranormal unity, we teach people that you know that there are going to be these kinds of people out there. And it really depends on what you put on your Facebook, about your groups, about what you're doing, and, all of that. And if, there's going to be people in all walks of life, just like everything else, that are going to take offense at something. So
absolutely.
If they see that you're being weak, or they see that you are, trepping on their... on their land, so to speak, they're going to start getting a little ugly, and unfortunately, that's all part of this. And so we teach them to ignore it and, put it, in its proper place. Like if you were getting a garbage note at your work, you file it in the proper receptacle, the garbage can.
Yeah,
but sometimes these people, they just can't, they can't continue to keep on doing that. And if there's, if they are doing it and they are still allowed to stay on the Facebook and on these pages, which kind of boggles my mind, then, and they're getting no rise, these bad guys are getting no rise out of the people, what they'll start doing is they'll start doing research on you. And they will start picking on your family and your friends, and they will try to dissect you in, it's just unreal what these people are doing.
So see, I just, maybe, Jackie, not, I just,
2 weeks ago. Yes, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just go and tell these people, you know, to fornicate themselves softly with a razor blade encrusted baseball bat. Well, crude,
well, yeah.
But it gets the job done.
You know what you could also do? Here's this handy thing. It's on here, and it's called the unfriend button. And can do that too.
I actually have some people who were trying to do the paranormal bullying thing with me that I have actually placed on ignore. They can't tell I'm on Facebook. Well, maybe they can now.
You know what? It's like I get some stuff every now and then from people who, you know, they give me a hard time because, you know, I admit I'm not really a fan of the television shows. And however, I am a fan of using psychic mediums in my research as well as my investigation. Man, a lot of people that...
Using?
Not using, but utilizing the abilities and skills, rather. Our physical medium is a really good friend of both my wife and I. But I get a lot of help from people about this because it's like they'll say, oh, you know what? We believe in ghosts, but that psychic stuff, there's no such thing. It's like, how can you say that? For 130 years, we've been using psychics or utilizing psychics in research. I mean, all of a sudden, here comes television program that says psychics aren't real. Come on. You know, do a little research before you open your mouth.
What's happening here, I think, is that there's so much into the gadgets and the technology of it, and they're losing sight of their basic, just using the basic five senses and seeing feeling the energy and hearing the energy and sensing the energy through what your body does naturally.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of these television shows, I was talking with someone not that long ago about some of these TV shows, and it dawned on me that some of these television shows that do the ghost walk stuff, they use these gadgets, and they really hone in, those cameras hone in on these gadgets.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, it kind of sort of reminded me of when I was a little kid, and I used to watch these, you know, the comics and things like that used to be on, you know, kid TV shows, Saturday afternoon cartoons, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
And they would, you know, do that. And then, especially around, like, October, November, they would start posting these commercials with these toys that were in the little show that you just watched.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of sort of made me think about how some of these shows are becoming very commercialized.
Yes.
Well, they always have been, but they've certainly gotten worse because there are marketing tie-ins and there is money to be made. And, you know, I don't have a problem with people making money from the paranormal in certain ways, including and up to being on television, having some good equipment to sell, that type of thing.
Absolutely. Right. I agree with that. But
I don't have a problem with that either.
Yeah, but there's this belief that this is a cash cow.
Hmm.
And I'm here to tell you that it's, you know, there's a certain amount of money to be spent, but people really look at the paranormal as how can I exploit these people and how can we get money out of them? And that's kind of sad.
You're right. And that's happening, but there are other things that are going on too, that people really just don't, the general public, they get bad impressions of what it is we do.
Yeah, that's what I was saying when I dropped the F-bomb. Mm-hmm.
Completely. You know, they think that we scam people. I had somebody just recently, because I do readings too, and I use tarot cards and pendulums and things of that sort. But this this person never had a reading before, and she was completely and totally freaked out. First of all, that I was going to tell her she was going to die, and that I was going to tell her that, you know, some very, very horrible things that were going to happen. And she created all of this in her head because of stuff that either her friends had told her or things that she read in a book or something she saw on television.
Right.
Now think about all of those different media venues and then having the social peering of somebody saying, oh, you're going to get taken and she's a gypsy or, you know. And that was the other thing. She was freaked out about what I was going to charge her. And I kind of sort of got a little bit miffed, and I wrote back to her friend that was asking about me doing the reading for her, and I said, you know, I'm not a gypsy. I'm not going to charge her $800 and then on top of that tell her that she's cursed and, you know, that all her money is cursed and that she needs to bring me all of her gold. And you guys, you know, some people that are listening to the show right now might be giggling like crazy. But I have had...
Well, I'm giggling like crazy only because it's so incredibly ignorant.
but it's out there.
But they, right into this. There are people that I've talked to over the years that have come to me crying in tears saying they've lost thousands of dollars to a gypsy. And I say, well, first off, was it done online? Did you have this experience online? And if some of them say, yeah, then you know what you do? You go to the FBI webpage and you click on the link that is for cyber theft. And you fill out a form and you give them as much information as you possibly can. And you hit button and you send it. And you're not going to be surprised here that these people won't do that. They're embarrassed. They are shocked that something like that, after they finally wake up, that something like that happened.
Sure.
And they feel like people, and it doesn't matter if these people know them or not, are going to look at them like ignorant idiots and go, how could you be so stupid? And this is why it doesn't get reported. And this other thing here with this paranormal bullying on here, I used to have a chat room in AOL. You know, when before Facebook and all this other kind of stuff, there was only AOL and MySpace, but AOL had the chat rooms. And this is where I basically cut my teeth when I started doing readings. And they were not paid or anything like that. But there would be people that would come into my room before we were able to bounce these people. And I'll tell you how long ago that was. Yeah. And they would sit in the room and they would say anything that they could think of, and then they would go to their little buddies, and they would get their buddies to go, oh, there's a reader, we need, you know, she's a fake, of course, and blah, 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 blah. Or they would take and point, or they would, like, message people that were in the room. If I was doing, like, a chat room and we were talking about a particular subject, they would message each one of those individuals and say, oh, she's a fake, I know she's a fake, blah, 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 and come over to my person because they are wonderful. So that was paranormal bullying before paranormal bullying became fashionable. We cut our teeth on that.
Well, there's still a lot of that. There's people who say, oh, don't go to that team, they suck, come to this team, or and all of that stuff. And all of that gives us a bad name. And when you were talking about this gal that came to you that wanted the reading, and her friend said you were going to take her for all her money, and you were going to tell her she was going to die, and she was cursed, and all of this, it made me think of something else.
No. Her friend didn't tell her that. She already had it in her head that was going to happen.
Okay.
Her friend had been read from me before and knew what my style was and all that, but she in her head, no matter what her friend said, she was thinking this was going to happen.
But that's because that's the information that's out there. And here's what
that's
I think.
Social gathering.
Here's my tie into paranormal television, and I'll try not to drop an F-bomb this time. is that there's all of this information that's out there. So imagine that you're a homeowner now who has watched something like a haunting.
Mm-hmm.
And you move into a haunted house. what are you going to be? What are you going to think about? Even if it's like a really benign haunting, if you've watched a haunting, you don't know anything about the paranormal, and you move into a house where stuff is going to happen, mm-hmm. what are you going to think? You're going to think that house is possessed by demons and it's satanic. And
oh, yeah. Well, you got Zach Bagans every week. You know, he's getting possessed by something and calling, you know, the apparitions of former of people with who had mental disorders at Ashmore Estate, saying that they were possessed by demons. That almost being that I am in the psychological field, that almost made me want to throw something at my television.
Yeah, you know what, though? But here's the thing. And in my short time in 23 years, it's relatively, with some of these people, a very short time of doing these kinds of things for the public. Mm-hmm. I have found that only between 1 to 5% of all of the stuff going on, and that means on the entire planet, are actually demonic problems.
Yeah.
The rest of it is about these people who have perhaps personality disorders, perhaps they're going through some sort of a change. There is like, but it has to be dramatic. I mean, it's got to be, you know, constant, you know, or opening up a Ouija board or trying to summon something. But, you know, they get so confused with all of this stuff that what they're doing is they're pulling up these rather benign, low-ranking, dark energies that are going to cause a lot of trouble because they're, hey, this is like Pandora's box, and we're a kid in a candy store, so we're going to do whatever we can. And that's what they're running into. The demonic energy is something that once you cross that, you may think you're a bad guy mm-hmm. when you're doing all this kind of stuff. But if you run into something like that, I guarantee you, you're going to be running out like a little scared school kid.
Like a bitch.
Screaming for their mama.
Yeah.
Because that's just it's over the top intense.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jackie, I mean, it's like in 20 years, actually 21 years now of actively investigating, I've dealt with two spirits that I could say were inhuman, not demonic, but spirits that never walked this earth in human flesh. Definitely some kind of lower ranking, malevolent energy. That's two out of 21 years, not every week. You know, it's not possible. Statistically, it's an impossibility.
See, but that's it. So there's the impression that's out there about us and mm-hmm. about what we do. And about if you're, you know, I don't even say much about my abilities to my family. As a matter of fact, I've never said anything about any of my abilities to my family because the information that's out there is just so, you know.
I'm as psychic as a rock, so, you know.
You know, sometimes when people find out, how do I want to say this? I'm very particular about who I tell about what I do.
Yes.
Even though I'm out there, I'm on Facebook, and I've got my own web page, and I've got, you know, my phone number's all over the place and all that. I really have to be careful, and for a number of reasons. Because for one, you know, sometimes people can friend you in person too, online. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that they want to talk about is what you do. And they don't look at what else you do. I'm a mom. I work. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, a household that I take care of, but I'm also involved in politics. I'm involved in many different kinds of things. My life has a lot of paranormal with it, but that is because this for us is a way of life. It is not a hobby. It is the way things are. I have children who see just like I do in various amounts. So I have a lot of parents that I work with and parentals that have children, you know, with these kinds of things. But And on that aspect, I have to be careful there because I don't need anyone coming up to my kids and saying, "Oh, I know your mom sees dead people. Do you too?"
Yeah.
It's very, you got to walk a very fine line. But see, recently, though, I'm starting to become more popular in the city that I live in. And people are getting to know where I hang out because I hang out at the Mocha House over here, in Warren. And, you know, people are starting to recognize me and I'm like, I mean, it's kind of cool, but then your privacy starts to become, I guess invaded. And I'm just really funny about that kind of stuff. I understand. I want people to know, but, on the other hand, I don't really want them to know.
You don't want the, exactly. I understand. I have a teenage son who has the same abilities that I do. And I've just been, a friend of mine, William, and I have been working with him on sort of learning to develop those. And, he doesn't want his friends to know. He doesn't want his friends to know at all. When you're, 15, 16 years old, that feels like a liability.
Right.
So we have a question from the chat room.
Oh, okay.
So Dave wants to know what you thought about the show Psychic Kids and the way they dealt with the kids who were developing those abilities.
Very excellent question. Thank you for asking. My children, when I first saw the show, my kids were very excited about seeing other children who had the same kind of abilities. But what they found that was lacking was that they never showed a follow-up on or different ways to be able to help these kids be able to develop. It was mostly like, you need to figure this out, and it was like kind of sort of pushing them, into a particular direction. And we found that in that manner, the show lacked. And so we stopped watching it because it didn't seem like it was there. It was the beginnings of something really, really good, but it kind of fell off in the middle. And I don't know if it was because of ratings or if it was just because the subject is very, very touchy, very controversial.
It is. It
is. I was just going to say, it's like, I think it also showed too, like, oh my God, watch out, Chip Coffee is going to come and steal your crystal indigo and rainbow children from you and, put them into psychic readings.
For mentioning the crystal rainbow, whatever, all of these children are all the same. They are not any particular, grade of brilliance.
There's no higher levels of advancement, is what you're saying?
No.
So
right.
It's not like a secret society.
The reason why I say that is that I found that after around 1996, there was a huge influx of children who were coming in with the ability to be able to do some tremendous things. There are children in China that can distort objects, and they can move them, and they're all on video and all of this. I mean, I don't have a web address. I would love to get one, but I can post one up on my Facebook when I find this stuff again. But these children are, their vibrational, their spiritual DNA and their physical DNA are vibrating at such a higher, more advanced level than, say, those of us who were born in the 50s and 60s and 70s.
Yes.
Think about it as a ladder, and you have maybe about 12 rungs on the ladder. When we came in as young children, we were maybe down on the fourth or the fifth rung. Now, there's some people that were on the bottom or weren't even on the ladder at all. But for those who were starting to develop and had this ability to kind of wow them right out of the box, you're starting up on the ladder at least midway. And these children now, after 1996, they're on the ladder on level 7 and 8 and higher.
My son was born in 1996.
you probably then understand what the heck I'm saying here.
I do.
They're already connected into that, and we had to work our way up. And for a long time, about every 6 months, my gifts were changing. And that didn't start happening until my mid-30s. And I would notice that I would start to get achy. My body would ache, and my body felt like it was like doing a spin, like a pendulum going around in a circle or back and forth. And I would notice that if I was like standing somewhere in line or looking at something, if I was perusing a book in a bookstore or some such, my body felt like it wanted to start swaying. And I'm thinking, what the heck is this? And then I would notice that I would start to get a slight headache above where like the third eye is, or at the right at the back of the neck. And I had been, when I was very young, prone to having migraines. This didn't, it was not painful. It was just a mindful feeling that was there. And I'm thinking, okay. And then I started noticing that in my dream time would change. And my ability to be able to do particular things was changing when I was working with clients. So if you're going through something like that, it's completely and totally normal.
Yep.
I also saw that a lot of people within the last, especially the last couple of weeks, are becoming extremely agitated, like for no reason. And what is happening here is, you know, we keep talking about those of us.
Wait, stop. Go back. I'm sorry. Yes. Did you just say in the last couple of weeks people have been particularly agitated?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I feel like I'm going to explode the last 2 weeks. I was just telling my husband, I sit there and I feel like I have huge high-level anxiety, and I'm laid back. I've never been an anxious person.
Yes.
And I feel like I'm going to – I just thought it was my teenage son driving.
No.
So what do you think that is then?
Well, all right. So what I mean, in my humble opinion, what I think is happening here is that we're having another what I call a quickening or an awakening. Same thing.
Okay.
We're having a lot of solar activity. We're having a lot of earth activity. We all know that that's going on. But there are also dimensional energies that are shifting and kind of like think about a glass of water, and if you shake that glass of water, it's going to get agitated, and it's going to be waves and all of that. Your body is that cup. And when you run into these particular energies that we can't see with our eyes, but we can sure feel it, it shakes the inside of us. What it's shaking is your spiritual DNA. And this is what is known as a quickening. This quickening will start to release information that was already in your soul part before you were even born. When you were a zygote in your mom's belly, you came in with all of this information, with everything that you wanted to accomplish, and for the purpose and the timing and all of that to make sense to you, you would have to start going through this development. And as you're learning about your gifts, and you're moving along through this, then at a certain particular age, who knows what the age, I mean, I'm 47, but for other people it could be, you know, in their 30s or 20s or whatever that this agitation starts, but that quickening starts to release some of the information in your spiritual DNA that's starting to say, you need to pay attention more closely to what this is, we're going to start giving you more information, your dreams are going to be more vivid. You're going to have a lot more information. If you are already spiritually connected in that sense, you're going to start seeing way more clear. It's like somebody, if you
that,
ever
that
have
would
to go
be, be, so that would be good. So I've been doing this for several years now. And in the last, it's probably been the last year where things have just gotten really, like, I'm, pardon the pun, I'm dead accurate. Well, when I talk to the dead people, I'm right on. I get stuff that shocks me, and when somebody will be like, it'll be something really obscure, and I'll say it to that person, I'll be like, this seems really weird, but they're like, yes, that's exactly, that was his favorite, you know, punk band.
And it comes off like a matter of fact. It's this, and it's just like you know, and you're plugged right into that. This
but right now I'm super anxious, so I'm hoping that
right.
Hold on a second, Jackie. So what you're suggesting to me, and now I'm like a normal guy, I'm from the Midwest and all that, so, but what you're suggesting, okay, I know, but so
it
what you're suggesting,
crazy.
No. What I'm saying is what you're suggesting to all of us is that there is a spiritual reason for people being douchebags.
No.
All right. See, all right. I was totally misunderstanding what you were saying.
That's actually not true. There is a spiritual reason for people being douchebags because you always have the opportunity to learn and grow from the douchebags.
Okay. They're giving. Right. I was totally misunderstood what you were trying to say.
Here's something else part of this. Okay, so we know that there is this awakening and there's a spiritual thing going on, and we kind of are seeing a lot more people acting out in very violent and very inhumane, unbalanced ways. Is this
part like
of the
eating
quickening?
A homeless man's
no,
face.
No, it's not. It's not part of the quickening. Not everybody is going to get it. Not everybody is going to be part of this quickening. Why? Because we have balance in all things. And I know there are a lot of people out there that are starting to think more along the lines of revelation in the, you know, biblical sense, and that, you know, all of these very terrible things happening, it's going to bring on this, and that they're expecting a very turbulent end before the great wonderfulness. Well, not everybody is going to get into that wonderfulness. There is a balance in all things. If you're going out there and you're saying, I'm hunting ghosts, well, that's great. You know, you get the nice fluffy kind of ghosts where you get the nice EVPs and the nice pictures and everything's lollipops and roses. But then on the other side of that, there's going to be that ugly, ugly, dark energy that you're not going to want to be around. It's not lollipops and roses. It will make you sick, violently sick. It could hurt you physically, and that's the other side of this. And are they going to turn? Are they going to experience this quickening too? No, it's not going to happen. Don't even think that you can change. If you, you know, and for some reason, there might be somebody out there listening to this thing trying to effectively say, I can change that because I walk in the light and I know what I'm doing. It, first of all, it is not your directive to do that. When you run across something like that, understand that you were blessed by giving, by being able to sense that there's something really nasty, ugly, and you need to vacate. You need to do whatever it is you have to do. Don't stand there trying to call it out. Don't act like, I don't care if you're connected into Archangel Michael, because Archangel Michael is not going to look down at you and say, Jeremy, you need to do this right now because I can't. Are you kidding me?
Right. Right. You're better.
And there are people out there that are thinking that and doing that. And I've talked to a number of them, and they kind of make my eyes roll in the back of my head going, you know, with the head smack going, what are you thinking?
Well,
these
I saw this video.
Get themselves into trouble.
Yeah, you know what? I saw this video on YouTube where the guy actually says, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to show yourself." I was like, "That's not gonna work, dude." You know, that's not gonna happen.
No, because all right, here's the line on that. I'm a minister. Not a lot of people know that, but and I started this back in 1996. But anyway, the point is, if you call on the name of Jesus Christ, if you have the knowing and the spiritual center that this is your path and this is whom you follow, you may use that name for all that it's meant to be to push away dark energies.
Sure.
And cast
them out. But not if you're just
out.
Some random dude.
But not to go and say, I challenge you in the name of Jesus Christ, because that's about the time that Jesus Christ is going to say, dude, you're on your own, because that's not what I meant by that.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Well, you know, it's like, I oftentimes tell people, you remember in the movie, The Wizard of Oz, where it's like, you know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. But when you see this stuff on the television and you hear people, it's like, you know, I'm calling this person out and I'm saying all kinds of, you know, all these swearing like that horrible show with the guys from Everyday Paranormal, Ghost Lab or whatever it was called. It was like, yes, pay attention to the man behind the curtain, because he can and will kick your ass.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you something about something that I heard as a follow-up to one of these people that went to this place called Hell's Gate. Mm-hmm. They did it on air, on television. And, the follow-up here, people, and I had this from a very close person that was close to that person that this happened to. He ended up taking garbage with him and taking it into his home, and his home life got very, very messed up. And I don't know if it's been taken care of by now, hopefully. Mm-hmm. But I know that there was a lot of really bad after effects with this individual.
And we've heard about that with, like, even Aaron. Aaron Goodwin has come on our show and told us he blames his divorce on what happened to Bobby Mackey's.
Yes.
I'm not even allowed to go to Bobby Mackey's. My wife has told me, you are not allowed to go to Bobby Mackey's ever. If I ever find out that you were there, I will either beat your ass or divorce you. She told me this. I'm not allowed to go there.
See,
people
there you go.
People need to understand that when they are dabbling, if this is a hobby to you, I don't care. That's cool. Let it be a hobby. Get some cool orb pictures and some ghost pictures and some have some good times and have a good adventure when you go to wherever it is that you're traveling to. That's good times. That's fun. That's hobbyist, and I'm all for that because we need stuff because life is just really too serious. But if you're going in this and this is something that is not a hobby to you and you are messing with people's lives, and where they live and what their family structure is or their business structure is, you know, and you go in there, and there are people that go into a place and say, oh, yeah, this place is haunted, and they'll point out all the stuff, and they'll make affirmations about what these people who live there and work there are thinking, and then they'll just leave.
Well, it's like TAPS. Hi, we're TAPS. We're here to help. It's like, with what? You didn't do anything, you know? And I think that's the perception that a lot of people who are newer to the field have, that it's like you can go into a place, stir up some stuff, and then just leave. That's not how it works. I mean,
you have to be there for follow-up.
Exactly. Right. If you go into a place and
TV.
Yeah.
It's not TV. It's not even, well, I can't say you can do it on radio, but they've done YouTube videos. You know, let's go in there. Let's have a big brouhaha and let's really scare the crud out of people who are living and working in these situations. And then there's no aftercare. There's no plan to clear the place. There's no plan to get counseling for anybody that's in there. There's no plan for any of that. And I just, I don't understand. That is not paranormal investigation. That is paranormal poking it with a stick and running away.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. It's like paranormal zoo almost. You're going to look at the ghosts.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're going to go do that, then don't be calling anything out. Don't be doing any. And first, if you are not a demonologist, and I don't mean somebody who went to 5 years of going to the Church of Satan or studying with Mormons for 5 years and saying, now I'm a demonologist, and that person, if they're listening to this thing, they'll know who I'm talking about. That's not how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
How you do it is you have a tutor, and this tutor is either a priest or some sort of somebody big in the religion field that has studied this stuff, and then you get the books, and then you study the area, and you start to look at the different types of dark energies and the archetypes of all of this stuff that have been going on for thousands and thousands of years, and way even before the planet was even created, and you immerse yourself in that. The problem with doing that, though, is that once you get into learning the styles and learning the little things that you need to learn about that dark side, you can be easily trapped into it.
Yes.
This is not someplace
not for me.
To go and play.
Yeah.
For me, I have, this is my viewpoint on this. I have clients that come to me from all different kinds of walks of life and from all kinds of different kinds of situations. And if they have run across someone who has done some evil, demon-esque work on them, or, you know, either that they know of or that has been done by behind their back, and, you know, I have gotten to the point where I'm thinking there is no other solution to this other than, yes, that's what happened. And again, we're in the rare category here. I mm-hmm. need to know what it is exactly that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
And so where I start is that I have a Catholic background, but that's not the only stuff that I've looked at. I've looked at Jewish faith, Kabbalism. I've looked at some of the Santa Maria stuff. You know, I poke here and there where I feel like I'm led to. Mm-hmm. And I've yeah. learned enough about it that I can get the feel and the smell of it and what it is. I am under the impression that there are seven archetypes, just like there are seven archetypes of the angel category. There are seven archetypes of the demonic, and they seem to follow along the lines of gluttony and the seven deadly sins.
Yeah.
Right, and, you know, if that person is overeating, if they're having sex, that's crazy, or they're being driven to cut themselves or any of that, there is an archetype for each one of these categories.
Okay.
And that is where I look, but you need to go and you need to study what the person is about first. Learn what was happening in their life, like, 3 to 6 months before the incident started to happen. And mm-hmm. that is where your focus should be. Then once you start to get that picture of that individual, then you start to piece other things together. And that is on top of and beside the look for the forensic problems that could be happening within that, where that person is living or working. You know, that we cannot deny the fact that we have three different levels that we're looking at when we're doing this type of paranormal work. If you're doing it the right way, you're looking right. at the physical, the, you know, forensic side of it. You're looking at the emotional, mental stability side. Then you're going to the spiritual side. And you need to also be able to clue into what that person is going to respond to best when it comes to the spiritual essence of it. You can't just go in there and start waving around some sweet grass and tobacco and some sage and go, oh, okay, it's all done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can if you know, are native, you know, part native or whatever, and mm-hmm. this is your path.
Yeah.
If you're just a regular Joe Schmo, all that ain't going to do nothing. The holy water and the oil and the crosses and all that isn't going to mean a doodly doodah if you don't know in your soul part that is what is going to work.
So let me ask you this, Jackie. Do you think that it's important for the the paranormal investigator to have an understanding of psychology, religion, sociology, anything that's basically that's going to deal mostly with the science of being, well, human? Do you think that that's an important thing?
I feel that it is utterly important to be able to understand the physical makeup of an individual, where sure. they live, where they come from. That's the sociological part of it. The psychological part of it is what they grew up with, what their experiences was, what their perspective is. All of that it all plays a part. If you only pick it just one little thing, you're going to miss the broader scope.
Absolutely.
And you don't want to do that.
Well, because it's all integrated.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You're not just one or the other. You can't be a solely spiritual person and ignore the physical. Or you're going to die.
Exactly. But yeah. here is where a team comes into play. You get people that, if you can get a parapsychologist, awesome, because mm-hmm. if you're doing this kind of work, you're going to need eventually to be able to talk to a parapsychologist right. so right. that you can unwind from all of the stuff that you've gone through as a investigator. But having a parapsychologist would be very important as a team member when they're going in and actually doing an investigation, because they know sure. that aspect of it. And yeah. then you can, you know, get someone who is a sociologist who is interested in paranormal work. But from the sociological standpoint, they can look at that aspect of it. And, you know, then, of course, you get your people who do use the gadgets and the people who are the sensitives and the mediums. To have a very good, well-balanced group, you should have at least 6 or 7 people on mm-hmm. your group that are educated in particular forms, so that when you sit down and you have a discussion about what is going on, you can do it in a macrocosm kind of manner mm-hmm. and not a microcosm. It's extremely sure. important, because you don't want to miss the bigger picture.
Sure.
Yeah, I agree, but one thing I will disagree is that it just seems like with a larger group, that's when you, and especially with people that are so incredibly educated in that sense, it just, there seems to be a lot of ego that's involved there.
Ego is going to be involved if you lose focus on what you're doing. A lot mm-hmm. of people do not understand that it is not about them and their wonderful findings. It is about the attention spent on the individual individuals who are being affected
yes.
by paranormal activity.
So exactly.
Exactly. My God, I'm so glad somebody gets it.
If you're walking into a situation like that and you're going to go, well, I know that I can do this because I blah, 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 and I've had X amount of years, and I'm educated, and I've got all these gadgets, and I this, that, and the other. And you walk into this, you're going to be a liability to
yes.
that individual who
Absolutely.
Is in pain.
Well, here's what I'll tell you. I can tell you from my personal experiences is that I'm pretty well educated. I'm pretty bright. I know a lot about a lot of things. And the only time that my abilities truly work is when I get the fudge out of my way.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I set my ego aside, and it has nothing to do with myself or my own agenda right. or anything else. As soon as I start panicking and thinking, I have to get this right because I have to prove myself.
It isn't you.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's not you doing it.
Exactly. And
if
so as soon
if
as...
If you're sensitive and you're called to do this, because I do truly believe that it is a calling.
I do too,
yeah. And the reason why I say it's a calling is because you can't walk away from it.
You cannot.
It drives you back into it.
Right. Nope.
You but can you go, can't make it about you.
Right. In your quiet time, when you're having your discussion with your spiritual center self and that which has created you in whatever sense you feel comfortable, you have that to answer to.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you are being put into a position where you are being asked to help another human being who is a spiritual being having a human experience, and that you are there to be able to assist them in a human way, but reflecting on that spiritual side that is being hurt by some sort of dense energy,
mm-hmm.
then that is where you are most useful. And it is right. important to not just go in there and think, oh, I saw this on a television show, and I think it'll work here. I will try it out. You can't
sure.
do that. You can't, I mean, you can read books, and you can watch television shows and movies and all that kind of stuff, but it does not make you an expert.
No.
And if you're, what makes you an expert, and I don't really believe that there are experts out there, but what makes you efficient, more efficient in your field
mm-hmm.
is that you have perspective, and that perspective mm-hmm. comes from experience. And if you don't have the experience, then hook into somebody who does. As a mentor, watch what they do. Hopefully they do it right, but watch what they do.
Well, theory and field work go hand in hand.
Yeah. So you ready to go full circle, though? Because what's happened is that there's a split in the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got those that are ego-driven and those where it truly is a calling that you feel like, I need to do this because this is where I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And the ego-driven are the ones that are seeking out the TV and they're doing the bullying and they're faking pictures. And they're, you know, I mean, that's all people that are being driven by personal desire, wouldn't you think, Jackie?
Personal gain.
And they are being distracted by the thing down under that has got them. It's kind of like the Pandora box. At some point in their life, they decided that paranormal stuff was fun to play with. Mm-hmm. And maybe they got a deck of tarot cards, and maybe they did it on the sneak. And, I got, you know, so-and-so's tarot cards, and I'm going to see what I can do with them. That's something. But what about if they get a Ouija board? Or they even make their own, because you can do that, too. You get on YouTube, and you can look and see how they do it.
Hold on a second. Parker Brothers isn't the only one that makes Ouija boards?
You can make
damn.
Your
own.
Yeah. Well, not only that, you can find some really, actually really cool looking ones too. People collect them.
Oh yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
People do collect them, and they can come in all kinds of colors, shapes, and sizes. It is just an amazing thing. But if you get that thing, and you're especially a kid, young person, and you know, I have lots of kids here, and I work with a lot of parents who have children. They market it as a toy. And I learned a long time ago from the spiritual aspect of things that the demonic or the one down under and his little minions, what they do is they lie. And they say, oh, this is fun. Look at how enticing this is. And they shine it up and they make it all pretty and cute. And then somebody grabs into it because they see it, you know, either on a movie or a book or whatever, or they think, ooh, it's going to be really good fun. And at first, it might be really good fun.
At first, it's Captain Howdy answering questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It can be real good fun. But then you're going to get to that point where you're going to start asking about demons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gonna
go from, am I gonna marry Billy, or you know, are there or Satan? Are you there? Yeah, it goes dark very, very quickly.
It does, and
I have never gone from, am I gonna marry Billy to Satan? Are you there? Ever?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I've had experiences with it where, yeah, it gets dark real quick.
it can be very, very enticing, and that's what all of this starts with. And then, after that, you can get yourself down a very, very long, dark hole that will make it so that you are not able to come back again. And unless you go and you tell someone. And a lot of times people are too afraid to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a group of teens here who are very interested in the paranormal. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My son and several of his friends. And I'm pretty grounded in it. I've been doing this for a while. But they want to get into it. So what's your thought about kids getting involved in it?
I have, like I said, a group of children of my own, and my oldest is 23, and it goes down to my littlest is 7. And what do? You pay attention to how they are responding when they are doing this kind of work. Do they get agitated? Do they get overexcited about it? Do they get depressed? Do they feel like it can also be very addictive? If they have addictive patterns, it's not recommended that they do it. But if they're grounded and they've been brought up, you know, with an understanding that these kinds of things are natural, then they are able to have the understanding that it's okay to develop. What do you do when your child comes to you and says that they are seeing or hearing spiritual energy?
Happens in my house a lot.
Right. What do you do? And you know, what do you do about it? The first thing that you do is you, if you've got a group of kids and they're all saying the same thing, you need to put them in just like a regular investigation. Put them in separate rooms. Have them describe to the best of their ability what is happening. And then after you get all of the little commentaries of what's going on, then you look at it as a whole. And if there seems to be a lot that is jiving the same way, then you probably have something going on. If, you know, it's also important for parents who don't have other children to bounce that off of, or if they're small and they don't really have the kind of vocabulary they need, pay attention to their drawings, pay attention to what kind of, what their actions are, what their sleep patterns are, if they're changing their eating patterns and it seems to be affecting, you know, their health. Pay attention if you ever walk in on them and they seem to be just chattering away and looking in a particular direction.
I've had that with my little guy once or twice. He's actually said ghost before, and I was so proud.
Tanner did that when he was little. Yeah, Tanner was definitely very, very clear about that stuff when he was little.
Yeah, and they will sometimes come up with some of the dangest things. But there are ways to be able to tell if it's an imaginary friend or if it is truly a spiritual entity. And I have a number of articles that are on my blog that go into pretty good depth about what to do and how to detect this and what to be able to do if you want to help your child develop their ability. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so that's important. You need to educate yourself. But there's a lot of junk out there, too. You can't just go and look at one, say, YouTube video or watch one television program and go, oh, I get it now and I can figure this out. Because your child is not going to have that exact kind of experience.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? It's like with my little guy. I like to call him the future world's greatest psychical researcher. My son, he's 19 months old, and like I said, he said ghost about a month ago, and it made me really proud, and it was kind of cute and all. But if it's like, I'm hoping that he will find an interest in what his dad does. But at the same time, it's one of those kind of things that you shouldn't push these kind of things on your kids. No. Let them find it themselves.
Right. Let them come to you. And let them express what they're thinking and feeling. You know, we as elders may find that it's fascinating that our children are able to do this, and because we have a heavy connection into it. But not everybody. This is not for everybody. And there are some people whom it's best to help them tune down what they're doing. Instead of amp it up.
Some people can't deal with it. Some people, one of my son's friends, he clearly has some abilities. He's a kid who actually lived with us for a few weeks in the spring, and he clearly has some abilities, picked up a lot of the stuff that goes on in his house, but it winds him up.
Right.
Yeah. So, and, you know, absolutely. I've tried to work with him on calming him down, but it really winds him up. And as he gets nervous about it, of course, when you have somebody who's got this emotional energy going into it, then that can make things can feed on that.
Right.
I have learned a way with over the past year of being able to help balance out a room that my children sleep in. They were having a lot of activity. My children are getting older now. Some of them are teenagers, and some of them are just kind of like preteens. And then I've got the little ones, and they the littlest ones were having a lot of difficulty sleeping, waking up in the middle of the night just screaming. And, you know, of course you go and you check to see if there's anything pinching them or sure. You know, their clothing-wise or if they're uncomfortable or, you know, if they're wrapped up in something or something's hurting them. But then after you get past that and they start to verbally say that they've had a bad dream or that they feel something's touching them or something like that, I was like, I just got to the point where I'm like, had enough. You know, I'd like to get some sleep too. Mm-hmm. So what I prayed for Spirit to show me a way to be able to help bring balance to their rest time so that they could all get sleep. And this is what I've come up with. You can get either a wooden bowl or a glass bowl. I try not to use plastic because that's man-made. I try to get something that's, earth-made. Mm-hmm. And you take sea salt, and it's like, you know, in the blue box or whatever. You can use iodized sea salt or regular sea salt and pour it about a good halfway up the bowl. This acts like a sponge. Salt is sacred. It's one of the sacred things that we have on the planet besides water. And it acts as a receiver and a... it can also send out too.
Yeah.
Then what I do is I get a quartz crystal, and I put it in the center. Now this quartz crystal acts as a amplifier, and it amplifies the other stones that you're going to put into the bowl here.
Okay.
The other stones I would recommend, you can use. The rose quartz, you can use fluorite or, any of these, you know, colored stones, obsidian, things of that sort. Go, mm-hmm. you know, either online or I recommend that you do it in person and go to a store that has these stones. Very small, they could be the size of a dime. The size don't matter because
right.
the frequency of that stone is going to be the same no matter the size. And so you get maybe about four or five different colored stones. Now, if you just want to use quartz all the way through it, that's fine. Go with what you feel is right for you. Online, on my blog, I have a whole huge list of different stones, what their qualities are and all of that.
Hey, I have that on my website, too.
Right. But you know what? You can go online and you can look at these different stones and see what acclimates to what you feel is right for your child. Then once you okay. do that, what I do is I take a pendulum and I ask the pendulum to show me when the stones become balanced. Because you're going to get stones, you're going to have been touched by lots of different kinds of people and all of this other kind of thing before you get them. So what you want to do is you want to clear all of that energy out and you want to start from ground zero.
Okay.
So once you put the center stone in as your quartz, and try to always use like a quartz stone. You can use amethyst too, but I generally find that quartz works best. Mm-hmm. Then you put the five or six other stones around in a circle in the bowl. Don't matter how they go in the bowl, as long as they go around in a circle and they make like this little connected circle. Okay?
Okay.
And then you take the pendulum and you hold it over the bowl and you say, please show me when these are balanced. And this is what will happen. It will go in wide, wide circles for probably a good 7 to 20 different times. It'll go round and round in a circle. And when it becomes balanced, it will stand still at your center stone. And it will maybe wiggle a little bit, but that's when you know that the stones are balanced. And how do you know that this is going to work for your particular child? When you put it in the room, it doesn't matter where it goes. I usually, if you've got small kids and they like to play in and stuff, put it up on the top of the shelf. You can get it up on, or you know, in your closet if you need to, but leave the door open. And you will know that night if that has worked for you. It works that fast.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very good.
It's based on intention,
mm-hmm.
and it's based on helping you know, your love for your child and wanting them to have the most restful sleep as possible and to keep the garbage away.
Absolutely. Yeah. I do a lot of work with stones, and so I actually do a lot of work with stones, and I do a lot of work with sea salt. So that's, you know, makes perfect sense to me. So, Jackie, it's almost time for us to wrap up. I can't believe this. This has gone really fast. I wanted you to give out
usually your website. Usually it does with a great guest.
I know. I wanted you to give out your website, your blog, you know, whatever you'd like.
Thank you very much. My you can find me on Facebook, Jackie Chin Medium, and on Facebook.com. You can also find me on psychicconnections.blogspot.com. The word connections is spelled C-O-N-N-E-X-T-I-O-N-S. And so it's with an X and not a C. And I can, if you want, I can give my phone number out too.
If you'd like to.
Yeah.
The number is 330-824-1286.
Okay, hold on one second, Jackie. And anybody listening, don't call her up at 2 o'clock in the morning asking if her refrigerator's running, okay?
No, because that's what I'm going to do.
Oh, yay!
Okay, Jackie.
Or if you're finished, yes, yes.
Yeah, thank you so much. This is, as always, you're a great guest. Come back anytime.
Thank you very much. I look forward to seeing what else you guys are producing, and I am looking also forward to trying to get another article into your magazine. And
excellent. We'll talk to Cheryl about that
soon.
Yeah?
I'm very excited about that. Thank you so much for having me on. I always enjoy you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, good night.
Thank you, Jackie.
Good night.
So, Cheryl.
Yes.
What's up?
Oh, lots of good stuff. By the way, thanks to Jackie Chin. Not only is she a second-time guest, but she was really patient with us tonight. Well, rather, she was patient with me. So, because I was late, and she waited around for us. So, thanks.
Yes.
Thanks, Jackie.
Yes, that was very great.
Yes.
And we have...
She came in on the night of the first F-bomb. Which, what did Rick, what did you say to me when we
That's
got
an
as
honor.
Soon as we got off the air?
What?
You said, I always thought...
Yeah, I always thought it would be me. I really did.
And what did I say? So did I.
So did you, because I have got a potty mouth. Well, you know what? Okay, hold on a second here. Nobody ever gets to hear, you know, like our pre-show meeting. I'm not kidding you, everybody. It's like truckers and sailors got together, beat the hell out of each other, and then sit around dropping F-bombs the whole time.
Drinking
that
vodka.
That is a pre-show meeting.
Yes, that's right. I'm not nearly as sweet and innocent as I make myself out to be. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but also, too, I'm admitting that what people already know that, you know, I'm not so sweet and innocent. So, there you go. There
I have never dropped an F-bomb in court, I will let you know, though. So there you go. So I'm in court a lot, and I can control myself around the judge.
Hey, Karen,
I'm in court a lot because I work in the court system.
Thanks for the elaboration on that.
I work in the system.
I thought maybe you were talking about God or something there for a second. I wasn't quite sure.
No, I work in the court system. Anyway, Cheryl.
Yes.
I'm going to repeat my question. What's up?
What's up? Before I tell our listeners what's coming up, if you're listening live, stay tuned for the next Z Talk Radio show called Fox City's Paranormal Radio with Tim and Amy.
Fox, be careful. That almost could sound bad.
Fox.
Yes.
I have
heard. Let me say it tonight.
Yeah. Next week, I'm sorry to tell our listeners that both Karen and Rick, actually the next 2 weeks, are gone.
Yeah,
and then I'm taking August off,
we're allowed
too.
To have a life.
So.
Yeah, Karen, we're like losing you for the whole summer.
I know, but you know, if I live through my teenage son driving, I'll be back in September.
Woo!
Yeah.
Well, next week and the week after, we will still have a show. We have, on July 19th, we have a pre-record that Rick recorded with Guy Lyon Playfair of the Society for Psychical Research. People might also recognize his name from the investigation of the infamous Enfield poltergeist case of 1977 and 1978.
Yep.
And
can I say something really fast while
I'm
thinking about it?
Yeah.
On Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be on Chris Davis's show, and the name of it just Valley Ghost Hunting.
Valley Ghost Hunting.
On Z Talk Radio.
Everybody call in and give Karen a hard time.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
All right.
Okay, so Rick, that was like a special treat for you to interview Mr. Playfair, I know. So I know you're not going to be here to hear the pre-record aired, but when you come back, we'll touch on it and you can talk about everything and what you thought about that. So
very cool guy.
After
that's right.
Following week.
Actually, after Mr. Playfair, we have a short interview with an author. Her name is Roberta DiCaprio. So stay tuned for Roberta. And then on July 26th, Rick did a pre-record with the Dead Files physical medium Amy Allen and retired NYPD homicide detective Steve DeShavi.
He's cool. I really like that guy. It was sit down and have a beer with him.
And I will be driving back from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho on that day. Doesn't that sound like fun?
Utah.
Idaho!
I used to live off a street called Coeur d'Alene.
Well, it's named after Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Yeah,
I guess so. So that's July 26th. Tune in for that. And then to round out our third show after that, we have Jeff Stewart, founder and director of Paranormal Investigators of New England, a.k.a.
Not the NASCAR driver.
Pine. No.
Okay. Isn't that Jackie Stewart?
No, it's Jeff Stewart, I think.
Oh, I don't watch NASCAR. Okay, anything else?
Tune in. Hopefully we'll have some listeners while you guys are away.
Of course we will. So after a bumpy start, we're having a nice smooth landing. Yeah. I've got to tell you though, before we went on the air, I mixed up because I have to make very simple things for my family to eat when I do the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
So I mixed up some homemade buttermilk pancake dough. And I'm sitting here smelling it, and I'm pretty sure they screwed it up because it smells burned.
Oh. Well, that's not good.
I know.
Well, that's sad.
I know. So the boys are eating what could have been delicious pancakes.
Oh, God, I love pancakes so much. But, you know, I was just going to say that in August, when Karen is gone, put this out there. Joining us, a special co-host, is going to be my partner in Foundation Psychical Research, Amy Heschen-Egan. And, you know, she's great. She's only been doing this for about 15 years, but man, she knows what she is talking about.
Well, excellent. And I will totally miss you guys. And I'll, you know, miss talking to the listeners, but hopefully I'll get back here in September. And if I live through the teenage driver, I'll come back renewed and excited and ready to go. kick some butt.
All new F-bombs, ladies and gentlemen. All new
F-bombs. That's right. So this is my last show for several weeks. So I think it's appropriate, really, that I dropped an F-bomb.
I think you're right. The first one ever, Karen. We've been doing this podcast since, January, February of 2009? You've never dropped an F-bomb until tonight.
I know. My secret is out. My slip is showing.
You know what I think that means, Karen?
What?
It really is going to be the end of the world in December.
Was that one of the seals of the apocalypse? Karen drops an F-bomb on the radio?
I'm pretty sure it is.
It's specifically mentioned by the Mayans, yes.
Oh, my God. Well, that's just effing crazy, man.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, let's get off the air because you've got Fox.
Oh, careful.
Fox City's Paranormal coming up. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. Next week, Cheryl will be back 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and other times in the flyover states. Good night, everybody.
Night.
Good night, everyone.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network.